Takes you to the club.
There. Yeah, he brought me to the club, and I believe one of my cousins was there, my cousin Mike. And they got me in. I believe I was underage, but I wasn't drinking. Sorry, Lou. And yeah, I wish I could remember specifically what it was, but like, I was trying to think over the last couple of days, I've been trying to think of different stories from this in Hollywood. I realize that it's so ingrained in my life. Like my 20s, I'm 30 now, have been at that club, essentially, seeing shows, playing shows and stuff like that. So it's hard to pinpoint exact things. Memories keep popping up in my head.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, it's another show that we opened for, or we, you know, play with this band, play with that band. So I can't really specifically remember the show.
Barely survived Costco. I'm loaded down and I'm riding low. Toilet paper piled up to the sky. I'm never ever gonna run dry, cause I'm living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Didn't get any hand sanitizer, cause I shot the wad on Budweiser. I built a toilet paper throne. Everybody leave me alone. Sit on it like Conan the King as I practice social distancing. And I'm living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Landlord called, he wants his rent. I just told him to get bent. All I eat is tater tots and scotch. Don't wear pants cause I took them off. Use my gut like a dinner plate. No one watching, it feels great. And I'm living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Living like a king supreme, so quarantine. Living like a king supreme, so quarantine.
Well, who did the Landlord play with, open up for?
Oh man, well we've opened up for quite a few people actually. We opened up for Richie Ramone, which is probably one of the one of my favorite and one of the funniest gigs we've ever played.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, he was every bit of Ramone.
And what, the leather jacket, the wig?
He looked, well, first of all, when we met him, he was in the back just, like, crashed out on the, near, like, all the, like, gig bags and stuff. And he's very, like, didn't talk much, had sunglasses on. He was like, good to meet you, blah, blah. And then we were, like, laughing about that. We did a sound check, blah, blah, blah. Then he got up, and when he got up on stage, he turned into a completely different person. Like, he literally woke up, like, raised the dead, woke up, and stepped on stage and just killed it on the drums. And we were all, like, we were laughing at him. We were just laughing at how hilarious the situation was. Like, he was literally a relic from the past that you, like, wind up and let go.
Yeah.
And like, oh, he's the remote. Even I don't know what iteration of drummer. I think it's, like, the third drummer, the fourth drummer, something like that.
Sure, but we'd have to go through the genealogy. Yeah, but, yeah, he was a Ramone, yeah.
Could take forever. Yeah, so that was a great show. I really enjoyed that. And like, you know, playing on a stage and there's the official Ramones banner behind you is like, you know, he has the rights to use that, and it's like, oh man, that was a big moment, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody put something in my drink. Somebody. Favorite drink. I don't like anything colored pink.
we also opened up for the Unteens, local guys.
Oh, the Unteens, yeah, Genie's band. Gene, John, Colin, and those guys, yeah.
Yeah, Gene. They were killer. They had super huge Marshall stacks, and we had a great night that night.
How was your hearing?
Oh, my, can we swear on here?
Well, I can bleep it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, oh, my hearing is it didn't take to the Unteens for me to blast my head. I think putting my head inside of a speaker when I was like 10 years old and got a guitar,
yeah,
probably the thing destroyed my ears a long time ago.
Yeah, it doesn't help having the Unteens and Connolly with his Marshalls and Gene going at it, and that, and the other fella, yeah.
Well, the best there was soundcheck, because we all got there pretty early. We were having a beer, and they were doing soundcheck, and he was just standing there. What's the guitar player's name?
Oh.
I can't recall. He's a great player.
Yeah, I it's on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. No disrespect to him.
He's got a Marshall stack behind him, and he's messing with the pedal, and he's just kind of trying to get the level. And every time he like clicked off the tuner to play a chord, it was earth shattering. And like everybody's just kind of hanging out. It's before the show, and it was just so hilariously loud. And we were like, "Oh, this is the mood for tonight." And then you know we got to plug in and.
Younger, I always marveled at stuff like that when, like, especially when I was really young and I was like booking the Corktown and I booked, I don't know, some benefit show and it was like done through like one agent down in the States, another agent in Canada, and a publicist. And it was kind of like, we need this show to happen. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, some of the money, like the bulk of the money will go to like CFMU. And they're like, okay. And, you know, but, you know, can you make this show happen? It was like, it was a Cheetah Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that, and so he was with the rest of his, band up on stage and they were going through sound check and I had to bring all the gear and everything. And I think that may have been the first time where I was just like exposed to, that high end, right? Like where it just rips you in the face. And
there's a certain level that you hit in loud guitars that just annihilate you in a different way.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this guy, I'm like going, he's deaf. he has to be deaf, right? And I told Mike Troublecock from the Killjoys years later, I went, you know, I really like Bob Mould's albums now. And he goes, why? I go, because I've lost most of my hearing. I understand it now.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You're like, it takes some time before, you know, before you understand why someone mixed it this way, because they've lost most of the hearing, you know.
It's like a catcher's mitt, you know, you get it, it's all shiny and new, and you can't go play catch with the catcher that's brand new. You got to break it in a little bit, right?
And that's what I did. I broke my hearing.
Experience a little ear death, and then you understand why all these guitar players turn up. Yeah. Turn up all the
okay,
way.
So yeah, so the guitar player for the Unteens is Neen. That's the dude's name.
What was that, sorry?
The guitar player for the Unteens. It's Neen, N-E-E-N.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Neen nice. Yukahana.
Neen Yukahana. Well, he was killer. Yeah. And I want his rig.
Okay, so what other shows did you check out?
Oh, my God. I mean, like, those are shows we opened up for. We opened up for Johnny Dowd quite a while ago.
Johnny Dowd.
I don't know if you know Johnny Dowd. He's a real big weirdo. I think he's from Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But that was a very odd and weird show. And
why
was
it odd?
Because he's just an odd guy. It's hard to talk about his music is kind of like, I don't want to like compare him too much, but like it's like Tom Waits meets John Cale. Like it's kind of like
so he's an older cat. He was like a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, he's a singer-songwriter. You know, it's just him and two young guys playing drums and I believe drums and bass, I believe. And it was just a spooky, really slow, crazy music. Didn't really match the music that we make, but it was just nice to see an old hand do something weird like that. Yeah. And he was a gentleman too. It was one of those shows where like you play with a guy who's renowned. He's got a little polar. He's got a story behind him. He's a little bit older, and he's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
like he's a sweetheart.
Every year there's a family picnic and folk come from miles around. Mama buys fried chicken on the outskirts of town. Little sister makes a salad, big sister waits for a call. Brother John's in the bathroom, Lord, he's climbing the walls. How much emptiness can you swallow? Would a six-pack get you through? Would it take a quart of whiskey to drive away your blues? Papa John loved his bourbon, that was plain to see. Diabetes finally killed him, they cut his legs off just below the knee. Mom and Dad was a beauty, bitter was her marriage bed. I guess her fate was sealed on the night that she was wed. How much emptiness can you swallow? Would a six-pack get you through? Would it take a quart of whiskey to drive away your blues? Uncle Bill was a big man, had trouble with his feet. Aunt B, she is starving, pills is all she'll eat. Keepy was an old man, freak accident killed his wife. Never thought he'd outlive her, but such is the cruelty of life. How much emptiness can you swallow? Would a six-pack get you through? Would it take a quart of whiskey to drive away your blues? How much emptiness can you swallow? Emptiness can you swallow? Would a six-pack get you through? Would it take a quart of whiskey to drive away your blues? Drive away your blues. How much emptiness can you swallow? Would a six-pack?
And that's like, we didn't open for Tommy Stinson, but Tommy Stinson just recently played at Hollywood, and I went to see him, and he's a sweetheart as well. He's a really nice guy.
That was a fun night. I was DJing that night.
Yeah.
And we had and it was Mike from the Killjoys and Peter, formerly of the Doughboys, and they opened up the show, and was someone else on that bill? I can't remember.
All I remember is Treblecock walking in and hearing Treblecock play Alex Chilton by the Ramones.
Yeah.
With just the telly. And I had like two beers at that point, so I wasn't feeling like too affected by the booze. But I just ran up to the front of the stage and I'm like, ah! Like, I have so many memories of Hollywood of being just so excited about seeing a band or hearing a song, and you could just go right up to the front of the stage. It's like those memories like that. It's hard to think of another place where I would experience that.
You did that with Mike at my birthday bash that one year, because Mike was up on stage.
He
was playing with his telly, and I remember I was either his telly or his acoustic, and I remember you walking up to the front of the stage, standing there just looking like going like, yeah, because he was actually, I think he was playing Alex Chilton.
Yeah.
That was not to say that you might have a problem, but you know that this is something that you might do after 2 beers.
I do have a problem. Hollywood totally, Hollywood helped me with that problem a lot.
I always think it's great that we end up making connections like that in any venue when you go and see live music, right?
Yeah, there's just an attitude to that place that was really, and I don't mean attitude like a rock and roll, like, ooh, there's an attitude. It's like, there's just more of kind of a, there was something happening there. And you could feel it when you walked in. If you'd never been there before, it seems like what it is, it's like a dirty rock bar. You know, if you don't know the area of Hamilton, you're like, oh, where is this place? Blah, blah, blah. And it has that effect, that kind of like punk rock, cool, chic effect. But also it's like, it's a home to a lot of people. And it's certainly been a home to me over the last 10 years, as far as being a musician is concerned. And it's these feelings that you get from all different aspects of Hollywood are just kind of, it's just so nice to have that time, even if it's gone now, it's just so nice to have the memory, as cheesy as this sounds. It's nice to know that that's where I spent, you know, the majority of my 20s with my friends, doing what I wanted to do in a great environment.
Sorry. Okay, Greg, you told me about Johnny Dad. You told me about the Antine shows. Who have you opened up for? Richie Ramone. A lot of fun, different stuff. But tell us the story about opening up for TV Freaks. What's the deal?
No. I did not open for TV Freaks.
Oh.
We just went. I went with my friend John, graduated his program at Mohawk after a lot of hard work while working and going to school. So we decided to take him out on the town.
Right.
And TV Freaks were playing Hollywood. Brock Caleb, our drummer.
Yeah.
And it was just a nice night. We had some walking beers. as we walked to this ain't Hollywood. And we got there, and I don't know if you know, people who don't know TV Freaks, they should. TV Freaks, in my opinion, is the best band from Hamilton. I know I'm getting a lot of flack from that because there's so many good bands. But to me, TV Freaks is the best band, especially live. And we walked into this circus of punks and, you know, hipsters and all the cool people that work and own this in Hollywood. And it was just a sea of people forever. And as soon as TV Freak started playing, there was just a circle of people running around. Every time somebody got knocked over, they were picked back up. There was one guy causing in the crowd, and he was immediately ejected, quite literally, out the side door onto Jane Street. And it was just, it was a culmination of like how great a night could be at a club like that. You're seeing this band from Hamilton play to a predominantly Hamilton crowd and just turn everybody's night into just a dance party, essentially, but with better music.
Perfect.
So that's my favorite. My favorite memory of Hollywood, I think. Everybody, this is Greg from Blandlord. I just want to say thank you so much to Lou Molinaro and all the staff and the sound guys and all the bands that have always played at This Ain't Hollywood. There'll never be another time like it, and I appreciate you so much.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario. It's giving me a heart attack.
Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the bag. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. I'm gonna get it. Watch me move. This is selling. That's a tool. On my Kodak. Black. Know that. Yeah. 100 bands, 100 bands, 100 bands. Contraband. I got the plug on with Hawker. Whoa. They gonna find you like Hawker.
America, I just checked my following. Listen, you motherfuckers owe me.
Just a buck hole, hey. This is black man, this world. It makes me so far as hey. Just a big dog, yeah. My kennel came in a backyard. My barbarian life is a dog. Barbarian life.
Like a tower. Hamilton's alternative. 101.5, The Hawk FM.
Just pretend. in a crowded room. You look so happy when I'm not with you. But then you saw me, caught you by surprise. A single teardrop falling from your eyes. I wasn't there.
The Hawk is on the air, broadcasting 24/7 from the top of the Niagara Escarpment.
You were saying that in America they're so serious about the protest movement.
Yes, they are.
But they were so flippant that they were singing a happy-go-lucky song, which happens to be one I wrote. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad they sang it. And when I get there, I'll sing it with them when I get in. And that was a message from me to America or to anywhere, that I used my songwriting ability to write a song that we could all sing together. And I'm proud that they sang it at the moratorium. I wouldn't have cared if they'd sang We Shall Overcome, but it just so happens they sang that, and I'm proud of it, and I'll be glad to go there and sing with them.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Forgotten one another.